Friends, we have a little different setup this morning and a special time for you. We have been talking over the past few weeks about going and the different places in Scripture where Jesus tells us to go and different ways and different avenues, and we're continuing to do that. And one of the special things about today is we're going to talk about somebody who went when God said to go. We're going to talk about going in mission. And many of you know that Jenna spent her summer doing Leader Treks, a ministry that does mission trips for youth. I'll let you tell her, let her tell you where she was in those things in a moment. But she felt God calling her to go and be a part of a team that was doing those things, and she did that. And so this morning we get to hear from her. When she came back from the summer, she had like maybe a week, and then she was off to college. And this is kind of the first chance she's had to do it. She's on her fall break. And so we're going to do that in kind of a discussion format like we've done before, where I'm just going to ask her some questions to get us started. First, you notice the picture up there? Isn't that a fun picture? Shannon Byrne, I think, took that for us years ago. I don't remember why I had the table there. I was doing an interview thing with somebody else. And after the worship was over, somehow, when people had left, Jenna slipped up there and sat down, and I sat down with her, and we were just kind of chatting at the table, and Shannon took that shot that I thought was really precious, and she's grown a little since then, hasn't she? My little girl's grown up, and so now we get to sit and have a real conversation that has actually been a part of what God's done in her life in the same kind of way that we did back then. So I snuck that picture in on her. She didn't know I was going to be here. So, Jenna, here's your first question as we get started this morning. First of all, what's it feel like to be an aunt?
That's pretty cool. Feel a little old, but...
Feel a little old?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are getting old. I, on the other hand, am a young grandfather, so... No, that's a new experience, isn't it? Jenna's probably the most excited of the answer uncles I think we have. It seems that way anyway. She's expressed it the most. But so we're going to ask you some questions, Jenna, about your summer. First of all, let's just start with this one. Where were you this summer? Where did you go? How did you end up there? Because there's a little story to that, too.
Yeah. So I was in Denver, Colorado this summer. I initially was supposed to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because... Well, yeah, that's just where I was supposed
that's
to go initially.
You, yeah.
So I went there for about a week, and we were, meeting with ministry partners and that sort of thing, just preparing. We didn't have a group that week. But then on Thursday, yeah, that's right in the play, guys. Uh-huh. On Thursday, I got a call from one of my bosses, and she's like, hey, the intern who's in Denver, she just needs to go home, so she's not going to be there this summer. We want you to go out there. We're going to send you out there. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, it's cool. So I was like, yeah, I was told on Thursday, and then it was Saturday, so I had a couple days to kind of mentally prepare.
Digest it.
Yeah, and so she's like, so we're going to fly you out there, so, like, how you feeling about that? Like, you know, what are your thoughts? I'm like, you know, that's cool. Like, if you need me to go there, I'll go. There's just one little thing. I've never flown before. So she's like, oh, okay, well, we'll walk you through it. And so I flew out there, my first time flying. Fun time. And then, yeah, I was in Denver for the rest of the summer.
And you were blessed to have a leader with you in Milwaukee who had flown.
Yeah.
Who gave you some tips.
Yeah.
And then she, maybe those who fly more know this, she downloaded but Google Maps. Or
yeah.
You can actually go to the airport. It'll tell you where to walk through the airport. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine Jenna doing like this.
Pretty much.
Finding her way around yeah. the airport. Because you went through at O'Hare, mm-hmm. one of the larger airports.
Yeah.
First time flying and landed in Denver. That's pretty crazy. That's like a quick adjustment in 2 days where you're set to be in Milwaukee and now they're saying you're in Denver. Was that an easy adjustment? Did that take some time?
I feel like I just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it by any means. I feel like the first week was it felt a little strange just because, like, I didn't really know what we were doing because
yeah.
I wasn't preparing for that, for one thing. And it was just also kind of like, oh, it's not mentally preparing for this.
Gets your mind set differently, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool that you were willing to go even when there was a change in the plans. That's pretty cool. Tell us a minute, for those that don't know, what is LeaderTrex? What's their mission? What do they do? How do they go about accomplishing that mission?
Yeah. So LeaderTrex is a nonprofit organization that works with, like, youth ministry, I guess. But one of the big things they do is mission trips. And their, like, mission statement or phrase is mission first, people always. So their heart is to see, like, students grow and to make disciples and to make them into, like, leaders, but not just leaders, but, like, Christ-like leaders. And they do that a lot through their mission trips. So they have, like, trip books that they give the students and adult leaders every week for, well, every trip. And sometimes it goes to, like, a book of the Bible. They've done that in the past. But this year, like, the theme was unshakable faith. So they read through or about different passages in the Bible that talked about unshakable faith, either people who had unshakable faith or just passages that showed God's faithfulness. But they, in that trip book, they have, like, different methods to study the Bible that they learn, and also a prayer method, the Acts prayer method. I don't know if you know what that is, but they just learn how to, like, study the Bible and read it, like, for themselves. Because a lot of times, like, especially if you've grown up in church, you're just kind of fed Bible stuff.
Right, yeah.
And so it helps them to, like, feed themselves, I guess, and to learn how to, you know, talk to God and learn about God on their own. So
a lot of adults aren't even real sure how to read the Bible, and so I bet a lot of the students, some of them, it's probably like opening it for the first time, I bet.
Yeah.
And do they so the booklets they have, is the scripture in the booklet, or do they actually have their Bibles, they open their own Bibles and
they open their own Bible. It has, like, what passage
tells them where to go.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they talk about it,
mm-hmm.
what they're learning.
Yeah.
And so do you notice that impact the students through the week? Do they seem to like that? Do they seem to have change in their life even from that?
Yeah, they do. I mean, there are some students who it's hard to kind of get them to do that. But I definitely see how that, like, impacts them and helps them to kind of just figure things out about God for themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
And there was one instance where, like, a couple of different instances where, like, the trip kind of, like, things that happen, like, at a work site or something kind of lines up with, like, what the student's been learning, like, personally or just as a group in general. And there was one instance where we had met a homeless lady on the street, and they had offered her, like, food or water. And she's like, no, I'm good. I'm full on Jesus. I don't need it. I'm full on Jesus. And, like, the kids kind of, like, chuckled, kind of laughed. They were like, okay, like, that's weird. That was, like, you know, the first day of the week. And then later on in the week, one of the students, we were reading that day about the younger ruler. Now, like, he goes to Jesus, and he says, well, how can I be saved? And Jesus says, sell everything you have and follow me. So we're reading about that, and one of the students, he brought that story up. And he's like, I know we kind of laughed at her, like, when she said that, because it was kind of seemed kind of weird, but, like, I think I get what she means now. Like, I think I understand what she meant. Like, yeah, she doesn't have everything, but she has Jesus, so she's, like, full on him. Like, she has everything she needs. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying to this young rich ruler. He's like, sell everything and follow me, because even if he, you know, if he had gone through with it, if he had sold everything, he would have still had everything, because he would have had Jesus.
That's
so it was really cool to see them be able to, like, connect the Bible passage with, like, a real life
actually
thing.
Have application
yeah.
for what they're reading, right? That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. What was distinct about Denver and that location?
Yeah, so Denver has a very large homeless population. So a lot of what we did was working or serving the homeless population, I guess. We worked with a ministry called the Denver Dream Center, which works a lot with homeless people or people who are coming, like, out of prison who just need help, like, you know, getting on their own 2 feet, that sort of thing. It's a Christian group or ministry, I guess. And we also, we did, like, things where, like, painted houses, too, for people who either weren't physically able to or just couldn't afford to pay for someone to do that. But a lot of what we did was just serving like that homeless community.
Okay. And was that intimidating at first?
Yeah, it was a little bit. Yeah. I know at training we did that a little bit. Some of the people who were going to be at urban sites. And I was really nervous, honestly, at training for it. I was like, cool, that was scary. And I asked my boss, his name is David, and I talked to him. I was like, what do I do? Like, if I'm nervous, but I'm also working with kids, trying to get them not to be nervous, too. Like, how am I supposed to lead them if I'm a little scared, too? And I just remember quickly learning just, I don't know, through the power of prayer. Just pray and you go. You can't second guess it. And, like, God really showed up. I remember the first week being in Denver, I was like, wow, like, I don't know how I did that. Like, I was so scared in training, but I was so, I don't know, bold about it, I guess. And I was like, that was just really cool to see that growth. But yeah, it definitely, that was, I think, a challenge for a lot of the kids, though, is like, I mean, a lot of the kids, I mean, I know for me sometimes, I don't even want to talk to just like a normal, well, I don't want to say normal, that's just a stranger in general. I don't want to talk to strangers. In general, I'm just kind of like, I'll keep to myself. So sure. Then someone who looks kind of intimidating, like, that's even more like, ooh, I don't want to do that. So it's I think definitely a challenge for the students, but it was a good challenge because we started off the week on Monday, the first day, going and doing that and talking to and just ministering to like the homeless community. And I think that was good because it was like a good backdrop for the rest of the week. Because like if we were working at like a food pantry or something, like a lot, sometimes it's like in a warehouse and that can kind of feel boring, but like if they have that, if they've physically seen the actual people that this is going to help and how hard of a situation that is, I think it was helpful to just build that compassion and them to have actually start off the week with the really hard stuff because it's really hard, and then it just sets them up for the rest of the week.
You gave me a you gave me a phrase last night that I think David taught you about your eyes. What was that phrase?
Yes, it was a story actually.
A story.
So, yeah. So our boss David told us a story at training. He, when he was in college, he would, I think he went to Moody. So he was in Chicago.
To Moody.
Yeah. Okay. And so he would go home like every week. He would leave every week to where he had to take the bus. Or something like that. And so he would go to
Chicago.
Yeah, and so he would go to the bus stop every week. And this every week he saw the same homeless guy sitting at the same spot. And eventually he decided to talk to him. And you know, after like, you know, weeks and months of getting to know him, he would, you know, sit with him every week, and then he would like take him out to dinner or lunch, and he'd like got to know him. And after getting to know him for a while, he asked him a question, which don't ask this if you don't know the person, but he can ask this because he knew him. He was like, "So, can I ask you a question? Like, what's the hardest thing about being homeless?" And the guy said to him, he's like, "Well, when people care to look more at the curb than they do to look at me. They care more about the curb than, you know, him." And that, I'm glad David had shared that story because he said that at training, and it really just was like, oh, like, that's so true. Like, how often do you see someone who's, like, homeless or something, and you're like, don't look, avoid eye contact, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, but that, he didn't even say, like, oh, not having warm food or clothes or a bed. He's like, yeah. Well, people don't even acknowledge
it. It was that people,
right.
The people connect that was lost more than the food.
Yeah.
To be ostracized, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And there were a lot of, like, people that some of the students had told me about. There was one guy who was, like, really smart. Like, he had, I don't know, some sort of, like, engineering math or something. He was, like, showing them these, like, the equations or something. Like, he was really intelligent.
Yeah.
But a lot, what the guys at the Denver Dream Center would say, it's like, it's just one bad choice from any of us to be on the street.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Well, so where did some of the students come from? What states did they come from?
Yeah, so we had a group from Kansas, Arizona, one that was from Colorado. They lived like 45 minutes away. Washington State, not D.C., and then Montana and Missouri.
And were all the students the same, no matter where they came from?
No, each group was very different. They each had their own personality.
Yeah.
So.
I remember you telling us about one group that their leaders did not make them put their phones away, and how distracting that was.
Yeah.
When our group goes on a trip, one of the things Matt does is he collects phones so that their focus is on the trip while they're there, and I probably made their time in their Bible and all that a little less effective if they had their phones readily available. And when you try to have discussion and all that, it's kind of as mine's in my hand, kind of makes it more difficult. So of all these different groups, and certainly nobody gave you any nicknames, right? Any nicknames?
Actually, no, there was a group. It was a group that was majority boys. There was only two girl students. But they liked to kind of tease me for being tall. So I got a few nicknames from that. It was Giant Jenna the Giant, and what was it? Jenna Giant. Yeah, Giant Jenna the Giant, Jenna Giant, and also Timberly, because, like, the tree, like, timber. So, yeah, that was great. We also went to Rocky Mountain National Park, and we were on, like, the top of the mountain, you know? One of the boys says to me, he's like, Jenna, these mountains and these trees up there, they're jealous of you because how tall you are.
If you can imagine this young, beautiful college girl with these middle school guys, they're going to make up nicknames.
Yeah, apparently.
They're going to have a little fun with that. You served as an intern, and then there's somebody that was a leader. So each team has a leader who kind of leads the trip, and the intern has a specific role. And actually, this case and this year, they were kind of low on people who had been interns before. Usually you're an intern first, and you become a leader. And so they had people they had to have in the leader position who had never interned. So they would pick maybe some of the young adults who were a little bit older, who they might think had more maturity. And actually, in Milwaukee and in Denver, they were both brand new leaders. Mm-hmm. You've been on how many leader track trips?
Five.
You've done this five times. So one of the cool things about that, and this is what I picked up from Jenna in phone conversations, is she was able to kind of help, even though they were leading, in a kind way, help them at times know how the leader track thing works as they would lead, even though she wasn't the leader. But what was distinct in your role as an intern as opposed to being a leader? What's distinctive of interns?
So the main focus, I guess, for interns is working or building relationships with the students, which is a focus for the trip leaders too, but there's more also like the logistics of things, I guess.
The business end.
Yeah, so that was just my main job, really, which is building relationships with students, getting to know them, and just pouring into them.
And how was that? Did you like that?
I did like that, yeah.
Did it surprise you?
It surprised me that I liked it.
That you would like it, or?
Sort of. I didn't realize I was social as I had to be, but I did enjoy getting to know them, and just, I feel like it's the verse where Paul talks about, like, becoming all things to all people. I feel like I kind of learned what that meant, because all the students were so different, and they'd have, like, different interests and that sort of thing, but, like, I enjoyed just getting to know them and be like, oh, so, like, yeah, there was just a kid who, like, really liked baseball, and so he wanted to show me how to do all, like, the different throws or stuff, and I was like, that's way over my head, but that's great that you know that.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed getting to know them. A lot more, I think, than I thought it would. I mean, I knew that that's what the job would entail, I guess. But
yeah,
it came easier than I thought it would, I guess.
It's every role is important, and the leader role, which Eli and Adeline did last year, the year before, is really important. They set up projects and those kind of things. But that intern role is so important, and it's the role of every Christian believer. I mean, I have the easy part. I get to just tell you guys what we should do. You guys get to build relationships. I do it too, obviously, but you build relationships with your worlds. And that's such an important part of what we do when we're going. And mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool as the intern, you get to just build relationships largely, as well as lead some things too. What's some of the greatest challenges, both in your work sites, your groups, and personally that you face?
Well, I kind of mentioned it already, but a big challenge for the groups, I think, was that first day of working with the homeless community, just because it's kind of scary. And a lot of them, like, they're, you know, kind of like social anxiety and that sort of thing. So it was challenging for them, but a good challenge. Really proud of a lot of them, because a lot of them just really stepped up in that. So that was, I think, a bit of a challenge for a lot of them. And it was a bit of a challenge for me initially at first, too. I think another challenge I kind of faced was just, how did I word it? I guess just finding the energy even when I was, like, socially exhausted. Because, like, I remember after the first week, I was like, okay, like, maybe I can do this. I got this. But then I was like, that was really socially draining. Right. And I was like, I got to do that all over again.
Because you're more of an introverted
person, right? Yeah, so I was like, oof, I've got quite a whole summer left of that to do. But I was like, but it ended up being really good, because it put me in a place of having to depend on God for that strength. Even something so strong as just being energized and super, like, hype man kind of thing. Like I needed God in order to do that. So I think it was good, because it did put me in a spot where I really depended on him for that. But
it's kind of stepping into the answer of the next question, but how did God help meet those challenges? What resources did he bring to you guys in the challenges?
Yeah, so definitely learning to depend on him, like I already said. But I think a big thing I learned was, like, the power of prayer, which, you know, sounds cliche, but it's actually very true. I learned how, like, I just learned to really just pray about anything and everything. It's like, I don't know how to do this, but you do, God, so I'll pray to you. And, like, he just, a lot of it I can't even explain it. Like, there's so many points I remember in the summer just thinking, like, well, that was God. Like, that wasn't me, that was God. Like, I don't even know how that happened, but it did. And so they're just so many moments where I was like, all right, God, like, there was one group in particular where I really needed to be the hype man, because they just, it was, the mission trip was a bit of a struggle for them, just because it was difficult for them a bit more so than other groups. And I, like, just had to pour out my heart and soul, and I was like, it's going to be a lot. But I was like, all right, God, like, one day at a time, one thing at a time, like, you'll get me through it. So just, I feel like it heightened my communication with the Lord, so it was good.
Have you been able to take that prayer reliance on God with you coming out of that summer back into your school year and stuff?
Yeah, I have. And, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that it's harder to be more reliant when it's not as difficult.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So it has been harder. I've noticed that, how I don't, it's not necessarily my first thought as much. But, you know, I try to make it be my first go-to, because it just makes everything easier if you just go to God first. But
right, doesn't it? this is what a lot of us care about. Tell us about some of the student impact. How are students impacted?
So I feel like a common theme I saw throughout all of the groups was just like students just finding this joy in this life, like from the start, just kind of, you know, coming in a little drab, but just the joy of the Lord, truly. Like, that was just the theme over the summer. Like, that was a prayer I had, was like, you know, the joy of the Lord, that it would be my strength kind of thing. But I just really saw a lot of students really just grow in that. And a couple in particular, like, there's a student named Caspian who came into the week. When he initially came, he was just kind of like, really just kind of an anxious, worried, kind of down on himself, negative kind of person. But like midway through the week, one of the adult leaders and my trip leader had shared their testimonies. And while they were sharing, it was during like our Bible team time, and while they were sharing, he was like taking notes and just really paying attention. And afterwards, he said, he's like, thank you guys for sharing that. That really, that got me thinking about a lot of things. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That's good. And so the next couple of days, I just noticed like this drastic change in him. Like he was just so much more joyful. Like he just had like this big smile and he was just so at peace. Like when I say he was like super just worried and easily flustered to being just so at peace, like it was just such a drastic change. And even some of like his, some of the adult leaders and his youth pastor noticed it too. And I was like, I think he made a decision for the Lord personally. Because like there was just such a huge change, and that was super cool to see, like to just physically see like a before and after kind of thing. And there's another student too. His name is Alvino, who
Alvino.
Okay. Yeah, who started off the week, you know, just kind of be a tough guy kind of thing. But by the end of the week, like his heart was just like so soft, and he just had there's this joy that I just could see like come across them. It was so cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Now you know I like Bobby's story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us the story about Bobby.
Yes. So Bobby was in a group with, it was like younger group in general, it was mostly middle schoolers.
And his real name was?
His real name is Isaiah, but they call him Bobby. And I asked him why. He's like, because I like it. And I was like, good for you. So his name was Bobby. Not really, but that's what we called him. But he was in a group with, it was like a younger group with mostly middle schoolers, but he was the youngest. He was going into sixth grade, so he came out of fifth grade. He was also the smallest, and he could be loud. He could be loud. But he was a little quieter, too. He just kind of, you know, the smallest and the youngest, for sure. But also the most, like, overlooked out of all the kids, which I had noticed. And the good thing about younger kids is that they're open books. They'll just tell you anything, which is great for me when I'm trying to help them out. But it was our mission race day, which was where it's kind of like a scavenger hunt in downtown Denver, where like the youth group is split up into different teams and they go and find different places in Denver. And I was on his team. And his team was putting together the map, and he was trying to like make suggestions and be like, oh, maybe this goes here, maybe this goes here. His team just wasn't listening to him. And he just got really discouraged, and he just kind of went off and sat down on the bench, just kind of like pouting, you know. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go talk to him. And I was like, Bobby, what's going on? Like, what's the matter? Why are you sitting over here? Like, why aren't you helping out? And he's like, they're just not listening. Like, no matter what I say, like, nobody cares. Like, nobody listens. Like, I'm just not heard. I'm just a little guy. Like, nobody cares about the little guy. And I was like, oh, no, don't say that. Just because I mean, I don't know if you'll know, but I definitely was a quiet kid growing up. So I could kind of relate to some of what he was saying of just kind of feeling overlooked and not heard. But I told him, I was like, Bobby, I'm really sorry that they're not listening to you. I wasn't going to tell him, like, oh, no, I'm sure they're listening to you, because, like, that's not true. I'm not going to lie to him. I'm like, I'm sorry they're not listening to you. Like, I know that really hurts. But, like, just because people aren't listening doesn't mean what you have to say isn't important. And I want to encourage you to go back over there and keep voicing your opinion. Keep speaking up. Keep talking to them. Even if they don't listen, just keep trying. Like, keep going, because, like, what you have to say is important. And so he's like, okay, I'll try again. And he went back over. He just tried to talk. They just wouldn't listen. A lot of times he'd just look at me and just be like, they're not going to listen. I'm like, just keep going. Just keep trying. Like, it's worth it. Trust me. You just, like, you got to, you know, got to find your little lion inside you, you know. But I just kept trying to encourage him. And just all throughout that day, it was just a back and forth trying to, like, you know, bring him back in. I'm like, all right, Bobby, like, I know you can do this. Like, what you have to say is important. Like, keep putting in your part, even if it's not super noticed or whatever. Mm. And then later on in the week, he had told me, he's like, I want to thank you for, like, saying that. Just encouraging me to, helping me to find my voice, because, like, it really helped me to just, like, speak up. And I find that really cool, because I love how God used something that I had struggled with, I guess, to help someone else who was kind of going through the same thing. And that was just really neat to see. But I saw, it was God. It wasn't really anything I said, but it was God who, you know, just gave him such a confidence that he didn't really have before. And he was, you know, speaking up and using his voice. And, like, even in team time when we'd be talking about the Bible, he'd be, like, giving his opinion, even though, you know, he was definitely probably the youngest, even, like, in his faith. Like, he was starting to, like, just share what he had been learning. Mm-hmm. And so that was just really cool to see him grow in that confidence. And did people start suddenly just listening to him because he grew in confidence? No, because people, you know, people are people. It happens.
Right.
But he grew in confidence, and he grew in the Lord, which is an important thing.
And you did say that there was some on the team that took note of what they
did,
right?
Yeah, I asked them, like, during lunch on the mission race day, I was like, how do you guys think you're doing as a team? They're like, we're doing really great. We're getting a lot of things done. And I was like, how do you think you're doing on Team Unity? They're like, we're doing good. I'm like, is everyone on the team, like, involved, giving their opinion and stuff? And one of the girls was like, Bobby's not. I'm like, and then I was like, how do you guys, you know, how do you think you can do better at this and that sort of thing? But, yeah.
I really like that story because I resonate. When I was younger, I sometimes felt a little bit like a Bobby, even in my own family with my older siblings. Like, I would speak and they would talk over me and those kind of things in school until I found my voice. And now I preach, so maybe Bobby will be a preacher someday.
Maybe you will.
I don't know. But yeah. I really appreciate you noticing the quiet person or the missed person and God using you. And now I think that's really special. What impact did you see on people that you served? Some of the homeless people.
Yeah, so my trip leader and I had the cool opportunity of just kind of seeing some of the same, like, people at when we would, like, walk the streets. You know, you'd see some of the same people because, like, we walked the same route. And there's also, like, a dinner thing that they would do on Thursdays where, like, they would let homeless people come and just have a dinner, and, like, we would bring some of our groups to that, and they would just sit with some of the people at the tables and talk with them, and that was, I feel like, really meaningful to them because they were just treated like people. They were treated like human beings, and, like, even on the street, too, like, and there's some kids were really good about this. There's one student in particular who, like, he would just, like, talk their language, and you just be like, hey, like, how's it going? Like, you know, it's just, like, just treating them like normal people, I feel like, really meant a lot. And there was one guy I had met at one of the dinners we went to who, I think, he didn't speak English, or he spoke very little English. I think he was, like, Italian or something like that. And so I sat down at the table with him, with another student, and I kind of tried to talk to him, like, hey, how's your name, this sort of thing, and he did not want to talk. He just wanted to eat his food. He's like, no, stop talking. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. But, like, I was like, well, you know, like, I don't want to just leave him, so, like, I'll just sit here with him. And I talked to another guy who ended up sitting down at the table, too. But eventually, there was, like, they did, like, a little bingo thing at the dinner thing, and so we would play with them just, I mean, not to win anything, but just to play with them.
Right. And he, relate to him.
Yeah. And he had a card, and he's like, and he asked me, he's like, can you play for me? And I was like, can I play for you? Because, like, he couldn't really understand, like, the numbers and, like, what was what, because he didn't speak fluent English, I guess. And so I was like, yeah, sure, like, I can do that for you. So I was, like, you know, filling out mine, filling out his. And then he ended up winning, and I was like, hey, like, you won, you got a bingo. And he's like, really? I won? I'm like, yeah, say bingo, you got a bingo. And so he won, and he got, like, a green hat or something, and he came up and showed it to me, and he's like, look what I got. I'm like, that's great. And so then, like, afterwards, he, like, shook my hand, he, like, looked me out, he's like, thank you. And I feel like that kind of just, like, built a trust with him, because, like, I was playing and he was playing, and then he won, and I didn't, like, try and steal it, you know. I was just like, you won. And he's like, oh, like, you're letting me win? Like, I didn't try and, like, take it from him. And so I feel like it just kind of built a trust, and afterwards, we got lemonade, and he's like, you want me to get you some? And I was like, no, like, it's cool. But, like, it was really cool to, like, because, like, he changed, because he was, like, really grumpy, like, don't talk to me, to just being, like, super friendly, you know. And, like, I didn't ever have, like, a conversation, really, with him, just because, like, the language barrier.
Right.
But it was really cool how even just like the action of just sitting there and just like helping him out like meant a lot. And like I saw him again a couple weeks later at the dinner thing, and he saw me and he just kind of like waved and smiled, and so that was really cool. Like, oh, like he recognizes me, like that's but like
just a simple act of kindness.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've maybe answered this, but if not, you can add to it. What's one of the greatest ways that your life was impacted from this summer?
I feel like it helped me. I feel like see people a lot better and be willing to act upon what I see, I guess. Mm. And not just be like, oh, I see them, but then like actually like interacting with people. It helped me grow my compassion, I think, a lot. And as I already mentioned, it really helped me grow my dependency on God. And one of the youth pastors actually put it very well. He said, the freedom of obedience. And that sounds like it could be contradictory of like, you're not free if you're obeying someone. Like, where's the freedom in that? But I feel like I really discovered, like, that was one of my prayers, which is being quick to give God my yes. Like, if he told me to do something or pride of my heart to just do something, that I would just do it and not just be like, well, you know, do that, or just, you know, obey and just do it. And I found like the quicker I was just like, okay, go talk to this person, all right, you know, like the quicker I was to do that, the more free, just that peace I found. And so I feel like there's just a freedom and dependency. And a lot of people are like, no, like you're only free when you're independent. Like people don't, in our culture, don't like depending on people, but like
right, yeah.
There's so much more freedom when you're just dependent and relying on God.
When you're depending on God, yeah. That's really good. That's a great lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. You got to stick with that one.
Yeah.
It's a great one. What would you like to say to our church family about your gratitude for their prayer support, financial support for you, and those kind of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm very grateful for both the support through prayer and the support financially, just because I wouldn't have been able to do any of it without either of those things. I mean, I'm sure there
or to go back to school.
Right, or to go back to school, not all that sort of thing. Because, I mean, obviously, financially, like, I needed that to be able to go in the first place, to be able to meet the people I did and all that. And I'm sure there were moments where someone prayed just at the right moment to get me through the day, like, when they're you know, students for just being a lot. I'm sure there's someone who prayed and like, because like I said, I really learned the value of prayer and how powerful it really is. And so I have no doubt that the prayers of the people in the church really helped me as well, got me through it.
You know, we that's just a great appreciation we have for everyone who prays for or supports missionaries or any of those kind of things that we do over time, because by doing that, simply by praying, and by giving, you actually are in the mission field with her or whoever's going. You get to actually be a part of what they're doing when you support them. And it's such a beautiful thing. And like for Jenna, she's been the benefactor of that multiple times when you've supported our youth going on trips for five. She's been to all of the Lillio Trex trips except for this year when you were serving that we've done. And one of those Leader Tracks trips is where she really engaged your relationship with Jesus for yourself. And so all of that has an impact. You become missionaries from right here, which is a beautiful thing. Well, one final question for you. So we've been in this message series as a church called Let's Go. We've been looking at how God's telling us to go. And one of the things I've been telling our church family is I've been encouraging them to pray about how God is calling them to go, and to be asking the Holy Spirit to lead them individually, in their families, in their life groups, in their Christian circles, to ask the Holy Spirit to lead, and as a church, how we should be going, and then to go. And so as somebody who just went, you felt God calling you to go, and did it, what word of encouragement can you give to us as we look to go when God tells us to?
Yeah, so when I was praying and thinking about doing the internship, I remember one of my biggest hesitations was, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Like, I don't know if I'm capable enough or able. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to do the job well. Like, I don't know. So I was really hesitant about that. But I heard this quote that it says something like, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And so, like, if God's, you know, putting a call on your life or leading you to do something, like, you might not feel ready, and you honestly might not be, but, like, if you're doing it with the Lord, like, he'll give you what you need when you need it. And it reminds me of the story of Moses, how God was calling him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's like, and Moses just comes up with a whole bunch of excuses. He's like, well, I'm not really eloquent of speech. Like, I can't talk to Pharaoh. Like, certainly, like, no, I can't do it. And he's like, well, like, what if people don't respect me? Or what if people don't really know who you are? Eventually, Moses just says to God, he's like, you got the wrong guy. Like, just pick someone else. Like, you know, you made a mistake. Like, it can't be me. Like, just find somebody else. And I feel like that's us a lot of times. We're just, like, even me, like, I was just like, well, I don't know, like, just, maybe I'm not the right person, like, sure, like, Adlin and Eli can do it, but, like, I don't know. And so, like, a lot of times we feel that prod from God, and sometimes we're just like, I don't know. But I think it's just important to just, to do it, even if you don't feel prepared. Mm-hmm. Your feelings aren't always honest with you anyway, but I think just recognizing that if God's gonna call you to it, like, he'll get you through it. It's a phrase, but yeah. You know, it's true though. Yeah. Like, if he calls you, he'll equip you for what you need. And like, even with Moses was like, I don't know, and God's like, no, go, like, I'll give you what you need when you need it at the right time. And sometimes you don't see that provision until the very moment. And a lot of times, right, we want it way ahead of time, be like, all right, I want to know that I'm gonna be prepared for every moment. Like, you can't prepare for every moment. That's just not logical. Right. It's not going to happen. Yeah. And so you just got to, like, God will give you what you need when you need it. And so if you do, you know, feel, we all have the call. Every Christian has a call, the commission to go and make disciples of all nations. We all have it. I think sometimes we just confuse ministry with, like, a job or specifically on mission trips, but like, we can live on mission even in like a secular job, I guess. But I think that's just important to recognize and to just be intentional in how you act just with all the people around you. Like, it's not necessarily a job you're called to, like a vocational job, and it is for some people,
sure, right,
but like, just live on mission. Like, see someone at the grocery store and just talk to them and just pray to God. Be like, God, like, I don't know if this will turn into a gospel conversation, but like, at least I'm going to talk to them. At least I'm going to be nice. Like, but like, help guide my words. Like, because I learned too, like, the more I stopped trying to plan out the conversation, the more I saw God move in it. Because a lot of times I try and be like, oh, how am I gonna say this? How do I get the students to start talking about God things? I'm like, no, stop. Like, you can't do that. Just let God do it. Just have a regular conversation and let God take over. And so I think just keeping an eye out, being on mission for the people around you, but also having that dependency on God and just being like, all right, Lord, like, lead me and lead the conversation, lead my words, and just being, just paying attention for what God is leading you to, whether it's big scale or small scale.
That's a really, really good word. Really, really good word. And God's calling us to go. It doesn't always mean going to Denver. It doesn't mean going to Africa. It may not mean going beyond 04. It may not even be calling you to do something that's got going beyond this building. I think probably it'll be more than that eventually. But it's just being willing to go whenever he says, wherever he says, whatever he says to go and do, whether it feels small or whether it feels large, right? Mm-hmm. I want to close us with just a couple scriptures and prayer. One is Romans 12:1, which we've heard many times. But therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We are offering our, that's what going is, it's offering ourselves. That is our worship. That is our offering. God, here I am, where do you send me? What do I go do? And then the other is James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And friends, we want to be blessed in what we do, doing what we believe, doing what God calls us to go and do. Let's pray together. Father God, I ask that you would lead us all to walk in your blessing, and walking in your blessing is walking in our doing. It's going when you say to go. And whether that's going across an aisle in a grocery store to speak to someone or speak to them in the checkout line, or that's going across the world to another country, whether that's going out into our neighborhood or that's going to a city somewhere, God, help us to hear your calls to go. Prod our hearts. Lead us. And when you lead us, God, where will you send me? There will I go. God, make that our heart, make that our mind, make that our soul, that we stay in step with your Spirit always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I don't have anything else to say this morning, so let's go. So as you go today, follow God's step. Bless you. See you next week.